Now, this episode is not me telling you that you must have email marketing in place. Instead, if you do have email marketing or you want to get it set up, this episode will help you streamline and start from a place of simplicity and effectiveness. Because while email marketing is a really valuable tool in our businesses, for various reasons, it can feel very overwhelming because of its power, because of all the different ways you can use it. But I'm here to tell you that keeping it simple can be just as effective as a more complex strategy. So keep listening if you want ideas on how to get started with email marketing or to tidy up your strategy so it's simple and sustainable. Welcome to the Upgrade Your Education Business podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm so pleased you're here. As an education business owner myself and a former teacher, I understand the nuances that only apply to us. So in this podcast, I share fluff-free, tailored and actionable ideas that you can mould to suit your needs. If you'd like to take this conversation further, please do reach out. I would love to meet you. And finally, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review. That way, you'll be helping me help more people. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy. Now, if you're a masterminder, you'll know that there is lots of training on setting out your email marketing strategy, creating evergreen lead magnets that really work, IVE email templates, and so on. And this episode will just complement all of that because ultimately I'm going to strip things back and make sure that you have a really strong core strategy. And the good news is that it doesn't have to be complicated. For those who are a little bit confused about the terminology, I'll take a quick moment to explain. A lead magnet is simply something that brings in leads, i.e. people who could potentially be clients, into your world. It doesn't always have to be related to email marketing. So a traditional type of lead magnet that is linked to email marketing might be a downloadable PDF. Someone pops their name and email address into a form, they agree to receive emails from you, and in return they receive the PDF, and you have the opportunity to keep in touch with them via emails, with their permission. However, this podcast doesn't sit behind an email marketing form, neither does my YouTube channel, but they do bring in leads to my business, so they're also lead magnets. Email marketing, however, is when you have a list of people who have chosen to be there. You can send them things like broadcasts, which are one-off emails, like I do with my monthly newsletter or my weekly mastermind wrap-up. Or you can set up email sequences that are automated. So let's say you had a sequence of 6 emails set up. When someone signs up, they'll receive that sequence and you will decide beforehand the frequency at which they'll receive them. So email marketing is not only good for keeping in touch with potential clients, but it's a great way of keeping in touch with existing clients as well. For instance, I do use my email marketing platform to keep in touch with masterminders. I use it to help them get settled in when they join and so on. When I used it heavily in my tuition business, I used to send monthly newsletters with useful resources or hints and tips or any updates. And the main advantages of having email marketing in place is that you can keep in touch with people in a form that they might be more likely to engage with. For instance, as great as social media is, only a proportion of people see our content. People take social media breaks. Your social media platforms could be hacked, or maybe you decide to go lighter on social media yourself. Recently, Meta went down, LinkedIn went down. All of these things can happen. Ultimately, we don't own the content that we put on social media platforms. Those platforms own our content. However, we do own our email lists. Email marketing is also a great way of having the kind of marketing set up that works for you in the background. So when someone downloads my ebook of Ways to Grow Your Business, they can do so and receive subsequent emails from me without me lifting a finger. I set it up once and it continues to work for me in the background. So now that we understand what email marketing is, and we're not confusing it with lead magnets, instead we understand that lead magnets are just one way to get people on our list, let's get started with some ways to make email marketing easy, lean, and effective. My first tip is to create a core list of subscribers. I'm calling it a list, but depending on your platform, it might use a different terminology. For example, on Kartra, which is what I now use, it's called a list. Whereas on ConvertKit, which I used for many years, it was called a segment. To keep things simple, I'll call it a list. And a list is simply a categorized group of subscribers. And it's done in a way where you can send them very specific emails based on what they have said they're interested in. The best way I can explain this is by telling you what I do. I have a list called Freebies. People can sign up to this on my website, where I have a form for them to opt into. And whenever I use a lead magnet, I also get permission from people to send them my free resources. So when I send my monthly newsletter or my weekly roundup of podcast episodes, I send this to the people in my Freebies list. Having this core list means that I can have as many lead magnets as I want, but that doesn't mean that I also have to have separate email sequences for each and every one. I could have that, but if I want to keep things simple, when someone signs up for a lead magnet, they can receive that and then go on my freebies list. So everyone is going into just one list. When I first explored email marketing, I had so many different lists and so many different sequences because in my mind, I felt I needed a separate set of emails for every single lead magnet. But I realized that although I can do that, and I still do for some of my lead magnets, the information I share with my freebies list is actually relevant to all of those lead magnets. And this means that people are still receiving information that they're likely to be interested in. Sometimes having specific sequences can be useful though. For instance, if someone opts to find out more about the mastermind or any other service that I offer, I send them an information pack, and that's followed by a short sequence of emails that just gives them more information over time. And this is useful because if I told everyone everything immediately, I would be overwhelming them and flooding them with information. So I use email marketing as an effective way to drip feed the information at a pace that they're more likely to be able to digest. Also, I have social media prompts that I send people who join my Facebook group who request it. And because that is very focused on social media, I do have a sequence of emails that relate specifically to social media marketing. But I'm not going to create endless sequences of emails, which is why I have my one core freebies list. It means that when someone has gone through my sequence of emails, I'm not under pressure to continue adding to it. Instead, I know that I'll still be keeping in touch with them through my free content. So here's an action point for you right now. If you have email marketing in place, make a list of all the different sequences and lists that you have created and see whether you can streamline them down to one or just a few core lists. That way, if you want, you could keep your sequences or you can delete them. But either way, you have simplified your strategy and still have a way to continually and consistently keep in touch with people. And if you don't have email marketing yet and you're planning your strategy, start by planning your lists first before creating them. My second tip is to invest in a decent email marketing tool. Many people start out on platforms that are free or very cheap, and I totally understand why. However, all my clients who have started on those platforms outgrew them very fast. And as they know, moving your entire email marketing to another platform is a really big job, and it can be quite overwhelming if you're not confident with the technology. Now, my favorite is ConvertKit. I've used it for so many years and I'd continue using it if I wasn't already paying for Kartra, which is an all-in-one platform. In the show notes, I've given you my link to it, and that means that if you sign up for a paid plan, I will receive a small commission at no extra cost to you. I hope you do click on it if you want to sign up, because I recommend this to so many people that I feel that ConvertKit should pay me a little bit for my promotion. However, if you don't connect with how ConvertKit works or wish to use a different platform, the point is try and invest in one that you'll be able to use for a long time as your needs change. And the reason why I feel like this is so important is because these better tools do come with a higher investment, but they also give you access to things that make email marketing so much easier. For example, on ConvertKit, if I have a sequence of emails, I can choose to keep people in that sequence when they reach the last email. And that means that I can add emails to that sequence as and when I wish. I'm not under pressure to get it all set up from day one. Many other platforms will automatically exit people from that sequence when they reach the last email. That's just one very simple example, but the reality is the tools that these better email marketing platforms offer give you different ways to automate your strategy, which means you set it up once and it continues working for you with hardly any intervention later on. And with these tools, you also get high quality data. And this leads me to my third tip, which is to keep an eye on data through the lens of finding ways to make improvements, not to measure success. Here's what I mean. If you use data to measure success, every time you see someone has unsubscribed, you'll feel like you've done something wrong. It's not a nice feeling, and it's hard not to take personally. But if you look at data as a way to make improvements, you can delve into which specific emails these people have unsubscribed from and make changes. For instance, I sometimes do that with my sequences. I recently noticed that three people unsubscribed at a particular point in one of my sequences. So I reviewed the content of that one email and I decided I was happy with that. So instead, I changed the subject line and gave it time to see whether that made a difference, and it did. So by looking at the data as a means to make improvements, I was able to be really strategic and proactive about improving my results instead of feeling like I had done something wrong. And my fourth tip is to avoid overthinking. This is something I find really hard. I have a tendency of trying to get everything perfect from day one, and as a result, it ends up being a really big job and it just delays me getting started. So let's say you have a lead magnet idea. Go ahead and create it. Create a quick form that people can sign up to and receive it. And just have them enter that one core list that you have created. You don't have to create a sequence of loads of emails that follow. That can come later if you want. At least it means that you have started growing your email list fast. Other things to avoid is stressing out about things like the time of day to send emails, how frequently to send emails, and so on. Yes, there are recommended frequencies and times, but all of our audiences are different, so you could see that as a starting point, but just be open to experimenting. And this is particularly important when you want to send broadcasts, which are those one-off emails that you write and send more spontaneously rather than the ones that are set up beforehand. So it could be something like a monthly newsletter. If you get too hung up on details like the time of day and the particular day and so on, then you'll struggle to meet that deadline sometimes and you just won't end up sending your newsletter or whatever your broadcast is about. The thing to remember is that people sign up and stay signed up for good quality content and for content that they are interested in. There will always be people, and I'm one of them sometimes, who sign up for a freebie but aren't really interested in the subsequent emails, and that's okay. Don't get hung up with unsubscribers and so on, and instead remember what I mentioned earlier, to look at things through the lens of making improvements and not to take it personally. So, as a roundup, remember that email marketing is a great way of keeping in touch with potential clients, but also a great way of nurturing existing clients. You could, for example, have an automation where when someone completes the registration form, they automatically receive your welcome pack with the details they need to start working with you. It's a great way of saving time as well as making sales and keeping in touch with a wider audience. So I hope you've walked away with some things that you want to action. And if you want more training on this, I have really structured training with templates to save you time in the Tutors Mastermind. There's a link in the show notes for you to join. And remember that since it's a membership, there's no long-term commitment. You can try it, and if it's not for you, you can leave, although I hope you won't. Thank you as always for listening, and you'll hear from me on Wednesday. Would you like to take this discussion further? Perhaps you have some questions or you'd like more ideas on tailoring your business. If so, book a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.